Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Bo, and the Parsha begins, Bo al Paro, come to Paro. Now, Rav Soloveitchik noted that there were two personalities of Paro that Moshe Rabbeinu encountered. When he was engaging the monarch persona, that he was going to speak to the Melech, then he doesn't use the word Bo, he uses the word Lech, Lech al Paro baboker, and Rav Soloveitchik notes that in those instances, Moshe was harsh with the king, and he humiliated him in his crown. Because that's the message that had to come to the Melech persona. However, when told to appeal to the person, Paro, in his heart, so then we find comforting words like, Bo, come, which implied a softer conversation in the process. And so he was told to go ahead and Bo al Paro. And of course, it doesn't work. It starts to work. He starts to soften, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens his heart. And so he goes through the Makkah of Arba, and the Makkah of Choshech, and the Makkah of Makkas Bechoros. And before we get to Makkas Bechoros, we're told that for all of Bnei Yisrael, a dog will not wet its tongue. And Rashi notes that in reward for not barking, the dogs are entitled to the meat of a treifa. We'll see that in Parshas Mishpatim, we're told basar basadeh treifa lo sochelu la kelev tashlich unoso, that the meat, from a treifa animal, an animal that would have died within the 12 months, it's called the treifa. You don't eat it, you give it to the dogs. Why are we told, La kelev tashlich anosa, why do the dogs deserve a reward? Dogs have no free choice. And so, basing himself on the thought of Rav Shimon Schwab, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman once suggested that similar to malachim who might not have the choice to do or not do mitzvahs, but they do have a variation in how they choose to perform the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God, dogs also could have had the choice as to how they carried out their mission. And yet they still chose to do an excellent job. For that, they get rewarded. And for that, they're entitled to go ahead and proceed. We're also told that prior to Makkas Bechoros, God gave the Jewish people their very first mitzvah. And Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, Be'eretz Mitzrayim Lemor, in the land of Egypt, and he spoke to them saying, now why do we care where they got their original message that it was Be'eretz Mitzrayim? So Rav Aaron Kahn, one of the great Rashi Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, one of the wonderful, wonderful Rabbanim in Brooklyn, suggested that the first step of freedom is the development of a mentality of freedom, an ideology independent of the controlling nation. And that Bnei Yisrael received a message of a new mitzvah from the new sheriff in town, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, demonstrated that they were already free of Paro's ideology and almost totally free too. And so this becomes one of the Lashonos of Geula. This is one of the languages that describe the change in the nature of the nation that is Am Yisrael. We're told, that when it comes to Karban Pesach, he takes it together with his neighbor. Now, it's interesting to note that this Karban is uniquely brought, ideally in a group, that once you're already in a group, you don't drop out. Why? And moreover, the Tosefta added that one should specifically try to make the Karban Pesach with his close neighbor and not go to a friend. And once again, the question has to be asked, why? So Rav Asher Weiss suggested that the idea is based in the writings of the Sfas Emes, who noted that we state that the Mitzrayim were based Osanu, Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim, which seems to suggest that that when we say in the Haggadah that the Mitzrayim made us, it doesn't mean that they treated us badly. They made us into stingy, bad people. You know, this idea also appears in the writings of the Shemi Shmuel and the Tiferes Shlomo of Radomsk. And so Rav Asher added that in order to counter this effort of the Egyptians to make us into a bad group of people, we eat in the close chabura to show that they did not and cannot win. We're also told that after the nation got the message of Karban Pesach, Vayikod ha'am vayishtachavu, that the nation bowed. And Rashi noted that they were happy with the Besorah, with the news of the impending Geula, that they were going to inherit the land and that they were going to be blessed with children. Three different elements. Now, why were they so excited about the Besorah for children, the fact that they were going to have children, which was only an ancillary bit of news not connected to the main news? And moreover, since in Mitzrayim they were having six at a time, why was the fact that they were going to have Besorah about children more powerful? So Rav Chaim Doval Tusky, who was the author of the Chidushe Basra series on Chas, and also one of the great Rashi Yeshiva and Torah Or, explained that specifically now, when the people saw the revelation through the miracles that were overt, now it was time to thank Hashem for the natural miracles that they had taken for granted until this point. Now, that they're seeing the Nisim. It's similar to something that the Ramban notes at the end of Parshas Bo as well, that when we have experiences of miracles, the miracles that we have are opportunities for us to remember the miracles that are seem to be around us all the time, and we don't even bother to pay attention to. Vayikod ha'am, vayishtachavu. Finally, we're told, and among the final pieces, we're told, Vayakam Paro Laila, that Paro got up in the middle of the night. And Rashi says he got up from his bed. This, of course, is the source of the children's famous song, Paro in Pajamas in the Middle of the Night. And I always find it fascinating that the kids get so excited about Paro in his pajamas in the middle of the night. What's the message over here? So Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita, the great Rav Rosh Hashiva of Ateres Yisrael in Israel, explains that Paro understood what was going to happen, but he chose to go to sleep anyway. He refused to do anything about his situation. Compare him to Yonah ben Adam Malacha Nir Dam. Sleep wasn't an acceptance. He went to sleep to hide from his reality. Rabbi Baruch Mordechai added that it's incredible to him that sleep is often an excuse for missing Kriyishma, which is a more powerful type of behavior that denies the reality of Hashem's sovereignty over the world, and over the world at large, and over each individual specifically, as dictated in the very Shema that's being ignored. The idea of saying to yourself, like, I missed it because I overslept. Wait a minute, how could you oversleep? Kriyishma contains within it, Ani Hashem Asher Hotzeisi Eschami Eretz Mitzrayim. Are you on the Hotzeisi side or the Mitzrayim side? If you're on the Hotzeisi side, you can't oversleep through Kriyishma. You need to get up and say it. Okay. We're also told that when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they baked things into matzos. Ki garshu mi Mitzrayim v'lo yachlu lehismameya. They baked the dough into matzos. When the Jews were slaves, they were given matzah to eat to fill them up, says the Avodraham, implying that matzah symbolized slavery. At the same time, at the time of Geula, they also ate matzah in the desert. And in that regard, matzah symbolized freedom. Now, how could the same food serve as both a symbol of freedom and a symbol of slavery? It just seems to be unnatural. It doesn't make sense. Samori Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita explained to us that the symbol of matzah reminds us that what we have achieved is not the result of what we accomplish on our own. We believe that everything is min hashamayim, and that we became the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation, because Hashem freed us. And when He granted us that distinction, He chose to give it to us. And in that regard, He gave us the Avdos, He gave us the Cheiros, and that idea is what the matzah symbolizes. It symbolizes what Hashem gave us. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Altira, Ata Altira Avdi Yaakov Neum Hashem Ki Itcha Ani, don't be afraid, my servant Yaakov, I'm with you. The question has to be asked, what did the Jews assume? Did they think that Hashem would destroy us because He destroyed other nations? So my dear friend and Rebbe Rav Gideon Weitzman from the Puah Institute suggested that Mitzrayim didn't fall because it was defeated by a bigger nation. Mitzrayim fell because Hashem wanted it to. And so hence Yirmiyahu reminds us that while it may appear at times as if Hashem doesn't intend to, He will protect us and save us, and He has the power to do so. There's no need to fear otherwise. My dear friends, we live in a world and a time where there is a lot to think about. But to understand, Altira Avdi Yaakov will bring us to the day that we will be able to say that is the Yom Shekulo Shavas U'Menucha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us there quickly, speedily, and painlessly, and may we be zochet to a Shabbat Shalom to all.